gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I am the man keeping me down on Martin Luther King Day.
That's
making
right, yeah.
us work.
Thanks.
Yeah, you and your racist dogs.
Yep, my white, big white dogs.
White supremacist
yeah,
dogs.
Figure it out. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. And I'm bringing other people into my dastardly plot. Reed Pundit, Eric Bowler.
That's right.
Regular Monday show.
Sheesh.
Do some headlines just make you happy when they pop up on your computer?
What happened?
Governor Christie, I'm going to learn things from this. Yes.
Computer says yes.
Like what cell block you're going to be in. Perhaps. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. For your thoughts. Oh, it just gets better and better, the Hoboken mayor, doesn't it?
And you can't spell Hoboken without hobo.
Right. Right? Exactly. Mayor Don Zimmer, the biggest story over the weekend on Bridge Gazi. Mayor Don Zimmer of Hoboken. Hoboken.
Uh-oh. Or ho. Can't spell it without ho.
All right. Somebody
Something happened.
Was too busy over the weekend.
No. No. These were all loaded in, and now they've reverted back to what I had on Friday. I think the dogs
Well, that would be old news then.
That would be old news.
I was going to say Fred did it.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
You know what's so weird? What soundbite does work?
You're fired.
Hey. Okay. Here. What?
Okay. What's the most important thing in comedy again, Jim?
Timing.
Right. Okay. Thank you. All right. Yay or nay? Otherwise, I shall move on.
Hold on.
As the broadcast professional that
Please
I clearly
Please stand by.
All right, Jim, who said two senior members of Governor Christie's administration warned a New Jersey mayor earlier this year that her town would be starved of hurricane relief fund money unless she approved a lucrative redevelopment plan favored by the governor. According to the mayor, in emails and personal notes she shared with MSNBC. Oh, dear. Who said that?
Don Corleone.
No, good guess, though. Steve Kornacki.
Ah, close.
Who is not mobbed up, but has a fabulous show on MSNBC. Who said in this account, supported by email, public records, ruh-roh, and Hoboken Mayor Don Zimmer's own diary entries, Christie's inner circle was willing to cut off devastated constituents, muscle a friendly mayor, and arrange public funds to finance a study for a project the governor supported. Who said that?
Mo Green, just before he got shot in the eyes.
No. Once again, Steve Kornacki. He's a reporter. He was a reporter in Jersey. That's how he, you know, he's been doing a bang-up job on this whole story.
He really has.
Mayor Zimmer, here she is.
She came, Lieutenant Governor pulled me aside, and she said, essentially, you got to move forward with the Rockefeller Project. This project is really important to the governor. And she said that she had been with him on Friday night, and that this was a direct message from the governor.
Huh. And she did testify yesterday.
Yeah, she met with federal prosecutors yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
On a Sunday.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yes, I'm sure you are going to learn from this. Okay. Yeah, Steve Kornacki actually wrote a whole huge piece, just in case you had not heard all the details, but this is bad. So this is the difference why it's so pathetic that they're trying to use Benghazi and the IRS, because, as we all know, there is no there with either of those stories. In fact, they have been completely debunked, and that's the thing, Jim, that continues to make my head explode about Sunday TV.
What about Benghazi?
To somebody to bring up IRS without saying,
IRS,
right.
Benghazi.
But that story has been completely debunked in that, A, there was never any connection to the president or the administration. Number two, it was not just Tea Party groups. It was groups with the word progressive and Occupy in the name. It was all political groups. It is a complete non-story at this point, as is Benghazi. I mean, how do you even let someone get that out of their mouth? That's the problem. That is the problem for them, is there is a lot of there, and the investigation has only just begun.
Benghazi IRS. Ursgazi Berg.
And, you know, unfortunately, it fits the narrative. And, you know, what was the statement from Christie's office over the weekend was sort of this, what did they say? Like, oh, you know, these mayors, they used to be a big fan of Christie. Now they just want to get their face on TV. That's the whole point.
Right.
She was a Christie. She was a fan of them until all of this happened. And the problem for them is she has evidence to back this up.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like, oh, she just wanted to get on TV. She had said previously, I mean, first of all, she got less than 1%. You know how hard a hit Hoboken was? She got less than 1% of what she asked for.
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't already look suspicious? And she said at the time, I hope that this isn't related, that I didn't endorse him or whatever. But, you know, so obviously in light of everything that's happened, now she's piecing this together. Anyway, Steve Kornacki writes, two senior members of Governor Christie's administration warned a New Jersey mayor earlier this year her town would be starved of hurricane relief money unless she approved a lucrative redevelopment plan favored by the governor, according to the mayor at emails and personal notes she shared with MSNBC. The mayor hasn't approved the project, but she did request $127 million in hurricane relief for her city of Hoboken, 80% of which was underwater after Sandy hit. Mm-hmm. What she got was $142,000 to defray the cost of a single backup generator. Oh, that was nice.
God.
And an additional $200,000 in recovery grants. The bottom line is it's not fair for the governor to hold Sandy funds hostage for the city of Hoboken because he wants me to give back to one private developer. I know it's very complicated for the public to really understand all this, but I have a legal obligation to follow the law to bring balanced development to Hoboken. So, I mean, this story, and plus it fits the same narrative, unfortunately, that he doesn't just punish people, he punishes all their constituents.
That's right.
This is what the Christie spokesman says. Mayor Zimmer has been effusive in her public praise of the governor's office. That's why this makes this even more damning. And the assistance we provided in terms of economic development in Sandy aid, what or who is driving her now to say such outlandishly false things as anyone's guess? Yeah, and it's just weird how she just happens to have all the emails and diary entries
to back it
handy.
Up. Yeah.
Right. She said something really important. I'd be more than willing to testify under oath and answer any questions and provide any documents, take a lie detector test. And, you know, my question back to them is, would all of you be willing to do the same thing to testify under oath to take the lie detector test?
And she was a federal prosecutor, too, if I'm not mistaken. So she knows the whole process.
Here's actually the interesting part of this. That's what pole vaulted her to the mayor's office. Kornacki writes, was a corruption scandal 5 years ago that enveloped a number of New Jersey politicians, including her predecessor. The investigation, which netted high-profile convictions, was launched by the U.S. Attorney's Office, headed by Chris Christie at the time. At the time of the arrest in 2009, Christie had already resigned from office to run for governor, but it helped boost his image as tough on corruption and crime. Oh, dear God. That's layers and layers of fun in this. For Zimmer, it was a welcome sign for New Jersey's future, and while she's a Democrat, she became a Christie supporter. So that's the other reason. That's not like a case against her. This is a case why this is unfortunately so damning. Anyway, he goes on saying, this account supported by email, public records, Zimmer's own diary entries. Christie's inner circle was willing to cut off devastated constituents, muscle a friendly mayor, arrange funds to finance a study for a project the governor supported. I was emotional about Governor Christie, she wrote in a diary entry. May 2013. I thought he was honest. I thought he was moral. I thought he was something very different. This week I found out he's cut from the same corrupt cloth that I've been fighting for the last 4 years. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this one is bad. So anyway, this is what she was just talking about in the sound clip that we played. She got a call from the lieutenant governor who wanted to come to town to do an event, to spotlight businesses that have recovered from the storm. This is what part of the other thing that we keep talking about. This is part of this narrative that has puffed up Chris Christie as this big bipartisan, you know, hero of Hurricane Sandy.
And puffed now up? Really?
Sorry. That was not a fat joke. But now we're finding out the truth.
Yeah.
They wanted to go for photo ops to go, look at me with the president, instead of giving them less than 1% of the actual relief money they asked for.
Wow.
Zimmer shared the diary entry, which she said she wrote later that day. She said, at the end of a big tour of ShopRite at the meeting, she pulls me aside with no one else around and said, I need to move forward with the Rockefeller project. It's very important to the governor. The word is you're against it and you need to move forward or we're not going to be able to help you. I know it's not right. These things shouldn't be connected, but they are. She says, and if you tell anyone, I'll deny it. Uh-oh. And then the other guy, the second Christie, just odd how all these people in Christie's inner circle,
yeah,
all sort of acted the same way, apparently completely without his knowledge, because as we know, he's a complete victim who's been lied to. She said Christie's head of Department of Community Affairs, she said, we're mic'd up with other panelists around us. Ooh, wonder if anyone has some recordings. all around us. Probably the second team is listening, the sound team is listening, and he says, ooh, now that's what you need to hear from a sound guy. And we know every single one of them is listening to the show because we've gotten a few notes.
Yes, we have.
Notes, as they say in the business.
Mm-hmm. Apparently every sound guy and every set decorator in the world.
Oh, by the way, my new lamp is here, everybody, so just STFU. I need to put it together. It'll be there tomorrow. But shush. Anyway, he says, I hear you're against the Rockefeller Project. I reply, I'm not against the Rockefeller Project. In fact, I want more commercial development in Hoboken. And he says, oh, really? Everyone in the State House believes you're against it. The buzz is you're against it. If you move that forward, the money will start flowing to you.
Wow.
I mean, you know, same story, right? Same, different, same day, something. Fred, just don't terrorize Uncle
Hi.
Chris.
Hi. Hi, Fred.
All right. So anyway, this is, as we would say, developing.
Yes.
As Tom Brokaw would say. So
developing.
Thank you. We will we'll bring you more on all that. But you know what? No more fat jokes, because he ain't heavy.
Oh.
Shut down with a video closed out lane. While we're on the bridge to them go nowhere. But it's not so on he goes. His campaign is my concern. The White House, now he's got to prepare to get there.
Mike. Yeah, after somebody told us don't do any more fat jokes, Bill Maher's entire show was fat jokes about Chris Christie.
Oh, Governor, I haven't watched that
Governor Christy Kreme. Oh, you have to watch it.
Okay.
Two words. Mary Madeline.
Yeah.
Oh,
which,
wow.
Oh, my God.
Well,
she stoned?
No, she just had...
Too much plastic surgery? What? Botox? Can't tell.
I think I read she just had a medical procedure, and so she might have been hopped up on pain meds.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It was really quite something.
I read about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it.
Okay.
Okay.
It's waiting on my DVR.
Oh. Yeah, you'll need to get to that.
Okay.
Okay, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business, what act of unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Rude pundit at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Dave in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You mentioned the Bill Maher show, and Chris and everybody, you need to watch that show. Not only for Mary Madeline, it was about Jennifer Granholm. She crushed it.
Wasn't she great? Well, she's my old current TV buddy, and I love her. She was awesome.
She made Mary Madeline look worse than Mary Madeline's Botox did. I mean, she wiped the floor with her. It was like that classic one when Alan Grayson just crushed it against somebody.
Yeah.
He just gave a great, like...
Dave, I'm sure you saw it. Everybody, it was like all over Facebook. Everybody trying to guess, like, was she drunk? Was it pain pills? Was it both? What did you think?
I don't even care. I don't know. Jennifer Granholm was great, and that was that's all I know. So,
yeah.
Love you guys.
Love you.
I'm
love
out.
You too. Okay. Oh, he's out. He's 5,000. Oh, sorry.
All right.
Yeah, poor James Carville looked like he wanted to just crawl under the desk. It was awkward. Say it with
nah,
me.
I think you should just go home now. You've done enough damage now.
Zoinks. It was, yeah, I guess they got in a debate. Governor Granholm was talking about there should be more women in office, and Mel was like, why are you saying that they're going to be better at women's, men aren't as good at women's issues? It's like, well, because they're not. Because Republican men are like... Where do you think the war on women came from? Anyway, it was really just awkward. All right, Jim, who said, because Jim left early Friday.
Yes.
And it was not a conspiracy that we covered this topic. There was breaking news.
That's right.
On NSA and stuff like that.
Huh.
Let's see. Who said, for a man who proclaims himself a fighter for universal rights, Edward Snowden, accepting asylum in Russia and praising his hosts for their devotion to freedom does not strengthen his claim to consistency, let alone nobility. Who said that?
Oh, some moron.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Doyle McManus, the fabulous writer for the L.A. Times. Jim, who said, we need time to assess whether he's done as much damage as intelligence officials claim. After all, he's the one who chose to go into exile. It makes sense for the government to offer a plea bargain, but Snowden and Greenwald sounded as if they are bent on more disclosures, not legal deals. Who said that?
Some hack.
Doyle McManus. Bill Maher did a fabulous interview with Greenwald, by the way, I thought. Who
held
said,
his feet to the fire, from what I understand.
Yes, he did. In real life, Snowden, just like the NSA, falls into one of morality's all-too-common gray areas. He deserves credit for starting an important national debate, but he fully merits condemnation, too. Who said that?
Chris Christie.
Yeah, also a bad guest, Doyle McManus. He actually made a good analogy. He said that that Snowden reminds him of Ron Paul. He goes, like, a couple things I agree with, and I'm nodding, and then I'm like, no, that's completely bat crazy. I mean... You know, and I think that's what we were talking about, Jim, is just there's a gray area. And I don't know if you watched Meet the Press, but, I agree with Dianne Feinstein and Mike Rogers on this. And it just, first of all, I thought Senator Feinstein made a good point, that a whistleblower is someone that takes a job, discovers something that goes against their conscience that they then, you know, and the whistleblower, I mean, it actually you have to uncover something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
A, he didn't do that. And B, as she said, he went into this job. To do this, he didn't just stumble upon something, and you know what everybody's talking about is Mike Rogers saying that there appears to be some early evidence he had help from the Russians, that this all didn't just sort of happen by accident. He obviously planned this in advance. It doesn't fall under whistleblower protection because he didn't reveal anything illegal, and the vast majority of what he revealed has nothing to do with Americans' privacy. And I think it likely has been very damaging. And to just say, oh, it hasn't done any damage, I mean. Mike Rogers is saying this is going to cost us billions to rebuild the way we do this, because not just terrorists but nation states know exactly what we do now and how we do it. And it's, you know, I thought it was... But besides the fact, making Putin some kind of hero, and maybe this is a personal thing because he's such a homophobe, who said Putin attacks gays for the same reason dictatorships throughout history have targeted vulnerable minorities, to scapegoat and distract? Who said that?
Hitler.
No.
Although that's a very good guess.
No, Garry Kasparov, the chess player.
Chess guard.
Yep. Haha, checkmate. Your move, Putin.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Just saying. Good point. All right, Rude Pundit on all this and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So people can just buy your voice?
Oh, the things it's been dragged into.
It is the new Stephanie Miller home studio. Check it out. here's the bad news. Because now all of my friends want to come see the studio on the weekend, and they like to play radio. I'm like, get away from there. That's only for professionals. This is not a playhouse.
What does this button do?
Get out of there. Don't touch the buttons.
There were some things that were messed with on my board over
right?
the week. Yes.
Drunken friends down here pretending to be DJs. Get out. Scat. All right. 1-800-STEP-1.
They're not related, but they do be brothers, ladies and germs.
Yeah, they're pretending to be me when I was a rock jock in 1984.
Well, yeah. In the early 80s, I used to play DJ in my room, and I used to talk up the post of songs that I'd recorded off the radio.
Right, right.
Yeah.
This is not a fort. It's for professionals. Get away from the microphones. All right. It is Monday.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Well, it just gets betterer and betterer, doesn't it, regarding Chris Christie and his latest unpleasantness.
Oh, yeah. This is way worse than the bridge thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that is going to F him in the A. I mean, you know.
Freak him in the arm?
Politically speaking, of course, yes.
No. It's actually going to walk up to his office and take him there.
All right. By the way, your column today, I cannot really quote on my little family radio show. It's far too rude.
Before we leave, Christy, I do need to jump in and say I actually know Don Zimmer.
Oh. Do you really now? Do tell.
I'm an acquaintance of hers. I wouldn't say I'm a friend, but I lived in Hoboken for a couple of years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And yeah, you know what? There's lots of bars.
Yeah, there's that.
Lots of bars, lots of delis. What else do you need? It pretty much took care of all my needs. And but anyway, now I've had on numerous occasions. I've had conversations with Dawn. I've been to her house. I know her.
I know her husband
and her kids. I knew her before she was mayor. I knew her when she was making the decision to run for mayor.
Wow. I mean, here's the problem: is she apparently is very well respected and was a true Christie fan, right?
Though
a Democrat.
I mean, a couple of things about her. One, she is about as compassionate a person as you could imagine. And the other thing is, she is friggin' tough. She went up against an old school machine in Hoboken, and now she lost that first race, but to the guy that eventually got, that a few months after becoming mayor, was put in jail for, as I think you mentioned earlier, for accepting a bribe, for development. But she took on this long established Democratic machine and took it down and, changed the way politics was done in Hoboken. So, you know, I totally trust her on this. She would not have done this one of the things that I actually was irritated about with her was her support of Christie.
Right. Well, you know, that's what I love is that they think somehow that's damning. That, whoa, well, she never had anything but good things to say about Christie. It's like when you divorce someone, it's like, right, I used to be, and then I found out he was an a-hole.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing is they're playing so naive. I mean, even an idiot like Mark Halperin this morning actually, you know, said to Scarborough, when Scarborough was going nutsoid on, you know, on defending Christie.
Right.
Along with his appendage, Mika Brzezinski. And he, but you know, even Halperin said, well, of course she was praising the mayor. She was she was praising the governor. She was trying to get that Sandy money.
Right. And she was on record before as saying, I mean, when you get less than 1% of what you ask for, Rude, in a city that's, you know, 80% of which was underwater after Sandy, I mean, there's already something wrong. And she had said, oh, I don't know if it's connected to, you know, to me not endorsing him or whatever, but I hope not. That's what she'd been on record as saying previously. Obviously, in the wake of all this Bridgegate, you know, obviously, I'm sure a lot of mayors, clearly a couple have come out and said, yes,
well,
this fits a pattern.
I think she's trying to figure out how she can get the funding to Hoboken. If first it was, okay, let me play ball by praising Christie. I'm not going to approve this project because I want to follow the law. And that's the other thing that they're not getting about this, is that she's not ramming through this Rockefeller Group project because she's following the law.
Right.
What the Christie administration wants her to do is maybe not break the law, but it's certainly to stretch and manipulate what the process actually is.
Yeah, so, and it just, I mean, I think what gets worse and worse for Christie is that, gee, what a weird coincidence that now it's two more of his inner circle that affected in the same way, that he apparently just has no idea. And I think that, you know, the thing I keep hearing people say that's so damning, even on the bridge thing, is this was obviously already a plan.
Yeah.
The first email, time for some traffic, everyone knew what that meant and what to do. Like,
right,
you know, there's
right.
obviously... That's the problem. There's too much there here. They can say, oh, liberal media and, oh, MSNBC's going crazy. It's like, well, because there's a lot of there. That's why federal prosecutors are on it already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and, you know, and that what does that mean, though? Does that mean that they have a list of here's what we can do to screw over each town? It's time for the Fort Lee project. Got it. We're gonna shut down those lanes of traffic, you know? And the other thing is that, you know, the money that did go to Hoboken, and I think it's the New York Times or something that pointed this out today, you know, a town that was far in away from the coast, Upper Saddle River, New Jersey, has received the same amount of money so far as Hoboken has from the Sandy relief, Sandy funds. So I'm hoping, I mean, you know, where's Daryl Issa? You know,
this
is federal money. There needs to be, I think the Justice Department eventually is going to get involved in this.
Yeah.
Because this is playing politics with federal funds.
Well, and you know, I think it was, I'm not sure, I think it was Bill Maher actually that talked about, you know, when you talk about even Nixon, it's like he had enemies list and punished people. But Chris Christie, you know, he goes, he didn't punish the whole country. You know, and that's the thing. It's like Chris Christie apparently punished all of these constituents of these mayors, all the people of New Jersey, not just you know, and, political payback to the person, right?
And that's why, I mean, take that to its next logical step. If you are somebody who believes that about Christie, if you believe that Christie will punish your constituents if you cross him, imagine how much guts then it took Zimmer to come out and say what she said. She was making a calculation as to which way is going to help her constituents most. If it backfires, it could hurt them even more. I don't know how, you know. I mean, not giving any funds out of a couple of billions of dollars of flood relief money, not to give one of the towns that was hurt most by Sandy, just $140 million, just seems strange.
Well, and, you know, as you were, you know, alluding to, whether it's Joe Scarborough, you sense all this desperation on the Republican side because Benghazi, as you write this week, has turned out to be a big fat nothing. It's do anything to Hillary. And meanwhile, they're, you know, as you call him, Macy's balloon, Chris Christie, is totally deflating.
Yeah.
And they're desperate, right?
They are. They are because, you know, and I think actually your next guest, Eric Bollert, has pointed out repeatedly that they have not done anything to refute what she's saying. I mean, you know, and, you know, they can say what they want about, you know, that she could have written her diary or journal later.
Right.
But journals are admissible in court, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, and it sounds like it's not just that. She also has emails. I mean, it sounds like she's presented quite a bit of stuff, I think.
She wouldn't sound so sure of herself if she didn't have everything
to back up. Testify under oath, I'll take a lie detector.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, otherwise she's setting herself up for disgrace.
Right.
And again, to get back to, you know, knowing Dawn, that's not her. She has approached everything with the utmost caution and utmost care. Every plan she does is incredibly well thought out. And let me also add, she's freaking brilliant. I mean, but she is way beyond smart.
Interesting.
So, well, she's going up against Christie. She knows what she's doing.
And meanwhile, as you write, as only you can, dear sweet Republicans and Fox quote unquote news, we don't give a happy monkey about Benghazi. Beyond, man, that was a bad thing that happened. Let's try to stop it from happening again. There is nothing there. No cover-up. No one had any heads-up. There were a few tragic errors in judgment on security that, had they not been made, might have prevented from going south.
I think Lindsey Graham just sold himself.
Well, he did more than that if you read Rude Pundit. That's not for the kids. You
no,
do that
no.
later, parents at home.
Yeah, not safe for work.
No. You said if you read...
I was kind of hoping you were going to try to read the first paragraph.
No. Can you see that, Chris? No highlighting at all on the first paragraph.
Yeah.
Safe search on. Okay. You said if you read the actual Senate Intelligence Committee report, what comes through is the dude who up a great deal on boosting security, unfortunately, was Ambassador Chris Stevens, who died in the attack on the consulate. He was asked repeatedly if he needed more military in Benghazi. He declined. Sorry if that up the fun narrative, but the truth will do that every time. And that's what, you know, Bill Maher pointed out again last night as well. Desperately trying to damage Hillary Clinton pre-2016, especially now that Macy's balloon Chris Christie has been punctured. Conservatives are out in force trying to pin the blame for the attack on Clinton, even though the report does nothing of the sort. I mean, that's kind of a big problem for them. Right.
I mean, you know, you can't, I mean, you know, Clinton came forward. And one of the things that that the right is praising Christie for is, look, he stepped forward, and even though it was people below him that screwed up, he took credit. Nobody's giving Hillary Clinton credit for having done that, too, for saying, no, ultimately, this was my responsibility,
right.
And she did apologize.
And Rude, to me, that's part of the same, like, media, liberal media, quote-unquote, myth about Chris Christie. He just stepped up like a man and took responsibility. No, he didn't.
No.
No, he didn't.
Right. He made a two-hour-long excuse.
Right. For
it
me.
Was, and then was, yeah, and what did he say recently? What did he say to Yahoo News? He said, I'm going to learn from this.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah, I guess he's going to learn that you should delete the freaking email.
Yeah. This is a teachable moment for sure.
Exactly.
All right. Rudin, it's great stuff. As always, we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Lots of folks want to chime in on this. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Bubble butt. Turn around, stick it out, show the world you got it. Bubble butt.
Yeah. 50 minutes after the hour. Yeah. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
That's awful.
I love it.
Awful.
Spinning song, yeah. All right. Eric Bollert, Media Matters, coming up at the top of the hour. Oh, today, by the way, a very important day. My beloved Julie in Seattle is 56 years old today, and she would like a happy birthday from the Queen.
Happy birthday, dearest Julie from Seattle. In lieu of singing the traditional happy birthday song, being as you are from the capital of grunge, I give you Jeremy from Pearl Jam. At home, drawing pictures of mountaintops with him on top. Lemon yellow sun, arms raised in a V. Dead lay in pools of maroon below. Daddy didn't give attention to the fact that Mummy didn't care. King Jeremy the Wicked ruled his world much as we do.
Oh, dear. That is more jarring than Bubble
Butt. Is she amused?
I'm amused, yes. And quite drunk.
Happy birthday from the corgis as well.
And from the corgis.
All right.
Woof, woof.
That was just weird.
Wow.
All right. Yikes.
It's Monday. You're going to get that.
Wowee.
The Queen singing Pearl Jam.
Yeah. So
don't get that every day.
Wow. That's how we came by William F. Buckley singing Milkshake, just randomly.
And Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right.
Right.
It's better than gauze. By which I mean Gore Vidal, whose clock I cleaned in that debate in 1968. Notice I said clock.
By the way, you know who else has those eyes? Rudy Giuliani. Weird.
Yeah,
lizard eyes. He was on Meet the Press.
He is a lizard.
Well, it's just like Benghazi and the IRS.
He even does that in those LifeLock commercials that he does now.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is it? Curtis in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just had a real quick point here. I used to be a moderate Republican until I got kicked out of the party. I'm an independent now. I just wanted to say I agree a whole part. I listened to your program. I listened to about 6-7 months. I decided to call today because we're on the road going to California, like listening to you, and then like wanted to call in. Quick points. I listened to your show. I'm an independent now. I agree with 80% of what you About 80%.
All right. Well, you're only wrong 20% right. of the time then.
I just wanted to say with Christie and Hillary, I don't think it's far gone conclusion that either one of them were going to run. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't vote for either one of them. Number two,
who do you want?
Christie.
Who do you want? Well, who would you like to see?
Well, it's too early in the game for me. And I just
yes, it's too early, but you're already ruling some people out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's still too early in the game.
Oh.
My other point, I just wanted to say that, yeah, Christie is a big hypocrite. I thought the guy was a pretty decent guy, but all this stuff's coming out. But what really my sticking point for me with him was when they had the shutdown, and then he wanted to blame the shutdown on the president, which wasn't his fault, the Democrats' fault. And he got on that the talk show with, I don't know if it was Jay Leno or David Letterman, and he said, you know, I would get him in the office, and I wouldn't let him out, and that's true leadership, and we get it done regardless of whatever, whatever. And, you know, and he made his little rounds on the talk shows and everything else, but now he's kind of clueless to his own administration about all this stuff that's going on.
Right.
And,
well, that, you know what
you know,
it is? It doesn't play to the narrative is the problem.
Yeah.
Nobody, whatever you think of Chris Christie, is not that certainly there aren't good things. He's not a victim. He's not a poor, like, you know, he's not a, like, he's a, as everybody has said that's ever known him, he's a micromanager. He's not somebody that would not be aware of any of this going on.
Right.
I mean, he's not some poor victim that's been, by the way, speaking of our beloved Julie in Seattle, there's a great cartoon of Christie and Boner.
Yep.
John Boner and Christie says, I shut down a couple of lanes on a bridge. Boner says, amateur, we shut down the whole damn government.
Yep.
See, there you go. When it comes to petty political payback, some Republicans just think bigger.
Yeah.
Michael in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike. Hello, Michael.
Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Jim.
Oh.
All right.
Hello, Jim.
Travis is
Hi.
Drunk again.
Hi.
Okay.
Sorry about that. All right. Listen, the only thing I want to say is, even though I'm Republican, I can't stand Christie. I would not vote for that man for any reason. He's like the white Oprah Winfrey. I just can't stand him. He's just...
Wait a minute. How did Oprah get dragged into this? Hasn't she been through enough but getting snubbed for an Oscar?
Well, he's just a self-promoter. That's
oh,
all he
I
is.
See. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you're right. If he had a magazine, he'd put himself on the cover every month, too, I'm
I
guessing.
I think so.
Poor Oprah. Leave her alone.
She figures
lucky
things.
She even performs. Yes, she does. She fixes her own toilet.
That's right.
They're just like us.
That was Stedman's toilet
right.
that she was fixing.
Right. Okay.
No, that's in the subsequent
sure.
article. That's what,
sure.
Yeah.
Anyone buy that? No. Okay. Terry in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments on Chris Christie. I was watching Hardball this weekend, and they said that there was a sheriff in Jersey who had gotten 43 indictments handed down against her and her staff, and they were prosecuted. There was a trial that was held. One of the guys that was being prosecuted said, oh, don't worry, Chris Christie's going to get us off. And he did get them off, and all of the all of them were released, and then the next day all prosecutors involved in the cases were fired.
I have not heard this one.
Yeah, it was on Hardball this weekend.
Hardball's not on the weekend, but...
No, Matthews has a Hardball weekend.
Yeah.
Oh!
On a lot of NBC stations around the country.
I did not know that.
So that was going on, and it was also reported in one of the newspapers. So it's just a culture of corruption. There's just...
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to thank you.
Uh-huh.
I have cancer. I've had cancer for a couple of years. And your show, when it was on current TV and now on this one, I was glad to pick you up again.
Yes, thank you.
Because you lightened up my day.
Oh, thank you. I'm please get well. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank
Bye.
You, honey. Appreciate it. That was very sweet. Thank
yes.
you. I don't know. That's the thing is I hate when people just dismiss this as like, oh, it's just the culture in New Jersey. Like, really? You just cross the border and you have to become corrupt immediately. Okay. Jason in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
After the president's speech from last week,
I think we can all agree that the president has been worse on civil liberties abuses than Bush ever was. And Bush.
Oh, no, we cannot agree on that even vaguely. But thanks for trying. I'm glad I didn't leave much time for that call.
Yeah.
58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, Brian, let's see. Brian says, by the way, because Super Bowl 48 is between Denver and Seattle, it can be called the Smoke Bowl 48 this
year.
Because of marijuana. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. A love letter from Jill in Madison, who, you know, is, did I tell you I was going to get empathy from women all over the world now that I have five husbands in here every day, leaving the toilet seat up? Taking out a new roll of toilet paper before the old one's done.
I would like to point out...
And see, now I've got you trained.
That's right. I would like to point out that the muddy footprints in the bathroom are not mine.
Right.
They are dog-shaped.
Sure. Blame the dog, right?
And the dogs use way too much toilet paper.
Oh, right, Jim? That was Max,
yeah.
I bet, right?
And the dogs leave three sheets on the roll, and yet take out another roll.
Jill in Madison says, Steph, between my passive-aggressive husband, my stepson who hates me, and another child, another boy, who seemed to take after their father when it comes to cleanliness, I live in hell. When I found the Stephanie Miller Show 8 years ago after moving to Wisconsin, I'd just about lost the will to live. Now I clean and I laugh and it's all good. Cleaning up after the aforementioned. It's like living with bears. Really.
Well.
Oh, here's...
Woof. Grr.
Okay. Oh, here's some good news, Chris. Guess who's getting... Because you know what I was thinking, Jim, there really is not enough of in this country is right-wing radio shows.
Oh, God.
Because
yeah.
Does seriously every right-winger have one now? Guess
yep.
Who? Because when you think of who has the most soothing voice that you would like to hear for 3 hours, that would be Dana Loesch.
Oh, my God.
See, now that would be... At least it would be a public service. You can sandblast your pool to that. Three hours a day. Entering
good
national
God.
Syndication. Isn't that something? Good for her.
And yet, she has still blocked me on Twitter.
Huh.
Because
you'd think she would like the promotion for her crappy new radio show.
I would promote the hell out of it.
Okay. All right. You know,
yeah.
who listens to a lot of right-wing radio, so we don't have to. Yeah. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollert. Eric Bollert.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollert from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollert.
Eric, you know what's a little bit sad about my life? How much I look forward to talking to you on Monday. Pretty much my whole weekend is waiting for
yeah.
we've been obviously talking about the latest Chris Christie, unpleasantness, and... You tweeted, Hoboken residents rip Christie over claims of withholding Sandy relief funds. You say Christie spent years touting his close relationship with Hoboken mayor. See, I'm bipartisan, but now she's a partisan hack. Hashtag good luck.
Yeah.
This is, there's a lot of there, isn't there, Eric?
There is a ton of there. And the newest just happened this morning. His lieutenant governor, who the mayor of Hoboken claimed, came to her and said, if you okay this real estate deal, the Sandy money will start flowing to the city. She went before the press today, said, I deny it, I love Hoboken, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the end of the Talking Points memo article, it said she did not take any questions from reporters after making her statement. So this is where the entire Christie campaign is. You know, he gave his marathon press conference 10 days ago, hasn't answered a single, I don't think, single question since then.
Well, you're right.
He can't because he gave that marathon press conference before the huge document dump on Friday, which completely undercut his sort of who me defense. And now he's got the Hoboken thing, And, you know, it's all falling down. Everyone is lawyering up. You know, the federal attorney general met with the Hoboken mayor yesterday. 20 new subpoenas went out. This is a house of cards at this point.
Well, and you said you had tweeted, I don't see how Christie avoids Senate hearings on the stunning new Sandy relief money allegations. And this is, I mean, it really is unbelievable, isn't it, how, as you talked about Benghazi and all of that, that they have just, despite their best efforts, there is no there on that. There's no there on Hillary, and now their best hope, I guess, for 2016 is completely deflating.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the politics of it, Christie was the only one who was polling nationally sort of side-by-side with Hillary. And now the one poll I've seen asking people about 216 with Christie, he's trailing 13 points. So suddenly he becomes another dud. He becomes another Walker, another Cruz. Another Ryan, people who...
Oh, yeah, they tried the Cruz storyline, and now he's at 5% or something in the latest poll, like an eighth place, I guess, right in the presidential.
Yeah, right. So, you know, Christie clearly was their best hope, and who knows, you know, it's a long time from now. I'm not saying he well, I kind of am saying he can't run now.
a little bit.
A little bit. So, and so what's the right-wing response, you know, the right-wing response? And, you know, and the Christie campaign or the Christie office, you know, finally decided our only defense is to go after the press. And our only defense is to go after MSNBC, partisan MSNBC, which every morning airs a Christie commercial in the form of Joe Scarborough.
Right. Well, and as you tweeted, in 17 months, Fox hasn't moved the Benghazi story 10 feet despite its hours of coverage. In 10 days, MSNBC has broken the Christie story wide open. And because, as you said, that's the unfortunate thing about journalism, right? You need a there.
You need a there, right. And you need some reporters. And I also tweeted, you know, maybe if Fox, you know, employed journalists instead of charlatans, they would be able to break a big story one day, too. But with Benghazi, it's just sort of this, it literally is, you know, tens of thousands of mentions at this point.
Yeah.
And so it is just sort of this churning of conspiracy, making, the Senate report came out, the Benghazi bipartisan Senate report, Hillary Clinton wasn't mentioned in the report, and so, you know, Fox turned around and announced that the fact that she wasn't mentioned in the report meant the report was all about her. So
right, that's
really
the most damning thing.
Yeah. So it was a classic example of they used this the Benghazi Senate report to make stuff up about Benghazi. They just used it as a platform, and they used it to whine that nobody's covered Benghazi. Well, you know, just last year alone, New York Times and Washington Post wrote, 400 articles and columns about Benghazi. You throw in IRS, they wrote 900 articles and columns. So what's really kind of amazing, we have it with the Christie story and we have it the Benghazi story. It's not, they've sort of dropped, the coverage is unfair. Now they're just sort of clinging to this, the amount of coverage. So there hasn't been enough Benghazi coverage. Well, the Times and Post covered it 900 times last year.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, there's too much Chris Christie coverage. And there's no allegation that, the press has gotten anything wrong in the Christie story. They just don't like it, the story. So therefore, they're announcing that there's too much coverage. And one other quick point on that front. So, Fox is complaining there's too much Christie coverage. And they literally stonewalled the Hoboken story all weekend long.
Well,
they will not report on that story.
But you wrote a really interesting piece as Roger Ailes advising Chris Christie again.
Yeah.
You say right now Fox News is Chris Christie's best friend. The defense has alternately come in the form of downplaying the scandal at first, invoking Benghazi as often as possible, blaming a feminized atmosphere for the governor's troubles, and championing Christie's brand of leadership in response to the scandal. But, and you say, which leads to the question, is Fox Chairman Roger Ailes once again advising Christie? It's worth asking, given now that Fox is acting as Christie's de facto war room, stressing the governor's talking points, doing its best to deflect attention away from the growing questions about why so many of his senior aides knew about the four-day scheme to choke off Fort Lee, New Jersey with nightmarish traffic, yet Christie remained clueless. I mean, you're right, whatever Christie's latest storyline is, that's the story on Fox.
Right, and the reason I raised the issue about Roger Ailes was a couple years ago, Gabriel Sherman, who just came out with this great new Roger Ailes book, he wrote a piece in the New York Magazine saying Ailes tried to recruit Christie Run for president. He brought him up to his, you know, his estate was Rush Limbaugh, etc. So after that, John Cook at Gawker filed a request with the Christie office, you know, for public information. Please pass along, you know, please produce any, you know, phone logs, calendar records of Chris Christie meeting with Roger Ailes. And Christie's office came back and said, oh, we can't do that. He would fall under the category of confidential advisor. So you've got the head of a news company who the Christie campaign, who Christie office considers to be a political advisor. And so that's, of course, kind of bizarre.
Well,
so it certainly raised questions with me whether, you know, Roger Ailes was back in his role as political advisor for Chris Christie in a time of crisis.
As you quote Cook, he said the public has a right to know whether the head of America's most watched cable news channel is advising a sitting governor on state matters. And you're saying that same rule applies today as Fox News mounts a Christie defense during the governor's time of political peril. I mean, and that part of it, the meeting with Limbaugh and Roger Ailes, how sad is that? That's who's running the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh and Roger Ailes. I mean, that's, you know, the kingmakers, right?
Yeah, the kingmakers indeed. You know, the other interesting point is, you know, how the press has been, you know, the mainstream press, because, of course, you know, it was hero worship, absolute hero worship for 4 years with Chris Christie. And, you know, I think they enabled this bullying, and I think they enabled this corruption. I mean, they absolutely were cheerleading, you know, when he would, you know, stalk teachers on the boardwalk of the Jersey Shore with his ice cream cone and call them thugs and all this hateful stuff. Stuff that, you know, when Obama raises his, I don't think I've ever heard him raise his voice, but if he ever did.
Yeah, but he's a Chicago thug.
Meltdown,
he's a Chicago thug, as
right,
we all know.
Right, he's a Chicago thug. So, you know, if Democrats flash any anger, oh, they're unhinged and they can't lead and why are they so angry, but, you know, Republicans like Christie did it. It was absolutely celebratory
coverage. When I first started seeing him, I thought, well, he's just rude. He's just, you know what I mean? And you're right. And it began the storyline from the beginning. Ooh, look how plain spoken and refreshing he is. I was like, no, he's just a bully.
Yeah, and so the press, you know, has had to deal with this absolute puncture. And the right-wing media, what have they had to deal with? For 5 years, what has been the right-wing media fantasy about Obama? He's a thug. He's corrupt. Yeah. He's got an enemies list. He'll do anything. And now Chris Christie is the walking persona of their Obama fantasy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with that, and they can't because they're claiming, oh, you know, the press is paying too much attention or it's a pile. But this is literally the caricature they have been chasing for 5 years, and it turns around. The real one's in the right in their backyard in New Jersey.
Oh, a T and then a he. Okay. Eric Bowler, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right. There he goes. Yeah, that's a little sad.
What?
Just waiting for Eric all weekend. That's all I look forward to. Okay. Right.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Nothing to live for a week. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. How's that crossword going today, Jim?
Hit and miss.
Great. Okay. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Steph. My problem with the Benghazi thing is that in the 9,000 articles, I never did find out who made the call to President Obama and said that it was due to a video. And just as we all laughed at President Bush when he sat there and read my three guns.
Wait a minute. What now?
During the, during the attack.
Nobody said that somebody. Nobody said that the president
like
got a.
Go to, well, but 24 hours later, these guys.
I'm sorry, wait a minute. Are you trying to compare George Bush ignoring the memo about planes flying into buildings and missing 9/11?
Well, but he went to. But President Obama felt it was important to go meet wealthy donors in Vegas 24 hours after these people were killed. I mean, he's off
I
on
see.
A plane
so
raising
George
money.
Bush ignoring all the warnings and missing the worst terrorist attack on our soil in our history is the same thing.
But so that excuses
as Ambassador
Obama
Stevens
to go
refusing
to Vegas to raise money after these people were dead, not even 24 hours.
Well,
really,
what
George Bush
do?
Flew around the country
right
after 9/11.
He's going to stay in Washington and be a leader, not
really?
Go to Vegas
you
and,
know what?
And meet wealthy donors.
John, you know what I got? I got a picture of George Bush on Air Force One flying away from the danger on 9/11.
Yeah.
That they were trying to use
away
to raise money.
Yes.
Right, that
yes.
was trying to raise money.
He was flying
for
from Florida away from the danger.
Right, and I actually got that because for some reason I got on a Republican mailing list. Who can say why? And they wanted money to go to the Republican Party.
Wow.
And you got a signed picture of George Bush looking out the window
yep.
flying away from the
so
danger.
So what would he,
What
would he have had the president do? Fly to Benghazi and fix everything?
Right.
With his bare hands? What?
Right.
You know.
Wow. I wonder if George Bush did any fundraising during any of the periods where 60 people were killed
right.
in embassies on his watch, in United States embassies and consulates, huh?
No, I'm sure he didn't. I'm sure he was very concerned.
Well, yes. That was
concerned went, role is very concerned. And went and fixed everything.
He was quite the human irritant, might I just say.
Yeah. I love how it kind of dawned on you all of a sudden that, oh, you're not talking about that, are you?
Oh.
Oh,
okay.
But it's just the movie. It's just the movie. I bet it wasn't the movie.
Okay, Robin in Florida, you're on. Hello, Steph. Hello, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I'm a long-time watcher, but I'm a first-time caller. I absolutely love you guys. I couldn't be more thrilled that you're back on TV.
Thank you.
You talked about David Gregory and Meet the Press. If anybody caught the George Stephanopoulos show, he didn't even bring... the topic of Chris Christie up until almost there were 15 minutes of the show left when he brought it up. And then, of course, Peggy Noonan basically looking down her nose said the story had peaked.
But,
and that was basically all the coverage they gave it.
Yes, clearly the day someone meets with federal prosecutors is the day the story's over. Right.
Well, to George Stephanopoulos' credit, he did have a rather lengthy interview with President Putin, which he's making news as well. So
not good news, but yes.
Yes.
Yes, I loved his comment about the children.
Putin was absolutely reprehensible.
Yeah. Oh, please, gays, leave the children alone.
You don't like the homosexuals.
And you know,
excuse me.
To George Stephanopoulos' credit, that was a good get. So I'll give him credit for not.
They make me mad, the homosexuals.
Yeah.
I want to put them in gulag. Homosexuals go to gulag.
That's what homosexuals are. They're homosexuals in the gulag in
gulag.
Russia.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he made me sick. Oh, just please leave the children alone. Yeah.
Doesn't anyone think about the children?
Okay. How many times must we say most pedophiles are straight identified men? I was just reading about the new Jerry Sandusky documentary at Sundance. It's called Happy Valley. Most pedophiles are straight identified, many times married men.
It's a power thing.
And there's footage of Putin lifting up a little boy's shirt and kissing his belly, which struck me as a bit odd.
In a way, straight men do. Yes. George Stephanopoulos, as we just talked about, pressed Putin on the controversy over, obviously, Russia's anti-gay laws. Putin argued the laws were not repressive and that the United States has no room in which to criticize gay rights. Huh? He said, I'd like to first ask my colleagues and friends that as they try to criticize us, they would do well to set their own house in order first. Right. I did say, after all, and this is public knowledge, that in some states in the U.S., homosexuality remains a felony. How are they in a position to criticize us for what is a much softer, more liberal approach to these issues than in their own country?
It doesn't remain a felony. The Supreme Court took care of that. They took care of the whole sodomy thing.
First of all,
he's wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of folks in the U.S. who share the view that the legislation in their state or nation is appropriate, well-grounded, and isn't in sync with the sentiment of the vast majority of the population. You don't know what you're talking about.
No, he doesn't.
Pootie. Russia does not criminally prosecute being, people for being gay. Oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that nice of them?
They just send them to Gulag. Homosexual Gulag.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I want to apologize again for my behavior the other night. I take allergy medicine, and I'm not supposed to drink 14 shots of tequila when I'm on it.
13 max.
Didn't say that on the bottle. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were finishing up Putin's comments on George Stephanopoulos' show. He said Russia does not criminally prosecute people for being gay, unlike in over one-third of the world's nations.
We prosecute them for doing gay things. It's different.
His point is he's better than Uganda on gay rights? Okay.
Well, that's
well,
a low bar.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you. He said seven of the 70 use capital punishment for homosexuality. What does it mean? Does it mean we have to cancel any major international sports events in these countries? Probably not. Oh, yeah, because Uganda was next on the list for getting the Olympics.
And did you see what Mary Madeline said on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos?
Was she sober on this one?
She had a little bit of a crazy look and an unfortunate hairstyle. But anyway, she doesn't get Putin's anti-LGBT controversy. She said, quote, all my gay friends think he looks so buff.
What?
Right.
So are all of your gay friends that shallow, Mary?
Do you think Jacqueline Bisset was drunk dialing her after her performance on Bill Maher?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It could be our game show.
Wow, you made me look pretty good. Thanks.
Drunk, stoned, or foreign?
All of the above.
Right. Well, Jacqueline Bisset, not Marilyn. Mary Madeline. I think Mary Madeline's other one is Botox. Drunk, stoned, Botox? Can't tell.
Apparently she had had a medical procedure and was still hopped up on some goofers.
She probably shouldn't have gone on the show.
No.
I imagine that she and James Carville had words in the car on the way home.
You think so?
By the way,
I think they take separate limos.
Speaking of speaking of gay rights, I love me some St. Mary Magdalene Episcopal Church.
Oh?
Finally, a church marquee that gets it. They put up, we truly regret that gay marriage attacks the sanctity of your fourth marriage.
Oh.
That's funny. And LOL GOP tweets, reminder, if you think being gay is a choice, you're considering it. All right. Let's go to Phyllis in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just want to tell you, I just love you, Chris, and Jim. I just love y'all so much.
Thank you.
But listen, I want to comment about Rudy Giuliani and his hypocrisy. The week of the shutdown of the bridge was week 9/11. It was on 9/11 during that week.
Right.
He hasn't said anything about that. He goes by his, Mr. 9/11, and even other Republicans and conservatives have not talked about that. And I think that is just something that they, if they had been the governor of New York, they would have been saying that then, but they didn't make no comment about that. I think that's just so hypocritical.
Yeah. Well, Rudy Giuliani is ridiculous.
He's ridiculous.
You're despicable.
Oh, my God, I just did that with my eyes, just not even thinking about it. Just the weird lizard eyes, the Giuliani lizard eyes. I don't know what that's about. That's all he's got is Benghazi and IRS, which are complete non-starters, try to defend his friend Chris Christie. Jane and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I don't know if you watched the whole Steve Kornacki thing, but
I saw bits of it, yeah.
Well, the 19 blocks that are supposed to be redeveloped, three of them are owned by the Rockefeller Group. And someone from the governor's office called the mayor and said, I can get you in touch with somebody to help you figure out what to do with those 19 blocks. They got in touch. They got her in touch with somebody from the Port Authority who's headed by Sampson, whose law firm represents the Rockefeller Group.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes. And they said, don't worry about the other 16 blocks. Just worry about those three blocks. And she said, I can. In all honesty, I can't do that. I have to worry about the other owners of the area. That's why all this is going on. And I agree with you. He isn't straightforward. He's just a big bully.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's been demonstrably proven. Michael in New York on Christie as well. Hello, Michael. Welcome.
Hey, sexy little mama.
Hello.
You know, I want to add my part about Rudy Giuliani, especially since being a New York City resident and having put up with his crap for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, he was being so dismissive of this whole scandal, saying like Democrats are blowing out of proportion, their political grandstanding, making a whole bunch of something out of nothing, and he became another Republican trying to connect Benghazi and all of this. But I want to know, what the hell is his personal involvement in all this? And I might have figured it out, because remember, his former aide, Randy Mastro, is now a close associate of Christie, mm-hmm. as of trying to get all this swept under the rug, as trying to get Christie into the White House in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And who the hell knows who could be Christie's, what's the word I'm looking for, running mate? Could it actually be that stinking schmuck Rudy Giuliani?
Oh, wouldn't that be something? I think there's way too many skeletons in both of those closets. Yeah, it's Rudy Giuliani's former lawyer, right, that he hired to clean up this little. Was that the one that cleaned up the mess with the whole, you know, Bernard Carrick using the apartments meant for 9/11 rescue workers for his mistresses? And who can remember all that unpleasantness?
God, New York and New Jersey politics is just...
Yikes.
Awful.
Yikes. KB enjoys it.
Hey, don't leave Chicago at it.
Well, okay, Chicago's in there, too.
Hey, KB, welcome.
How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I'm calling because there's a story that broke here locally. I'm not quite sure if you guys got out there just yet. Last Wednesday, a couple of principals in our area who were coming from schools that were once failing, got a failing grade, and now they're doing excellent,
mm-hmm.
all got invited to a community forum so that they could talk back and forth. And out of the five principals that spoke, four of them said something that wasn't a compliment to the Christie administration. Tell me why on Friday, all four of them were suspended indefinitely.
Huh. Interesting.
So the idea that he doesn't know what's going on is absolutely preposterous.
Yeah.
He micromanages everything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why. That's why this is so damning. Does not fit the storyline. Jim, did you happen to watch Meet the Press?
No.
Okay. So I brought this up last hour. Obviously, the other big story, the NSA, the president's mm-hmm. speech. Dianne Feinstein and Mike Rogers were on Meet the Press. But,
clearly didn't read Charlie Pierce's article.
I have not read it yet, but I will talk to him tomorrow.
That's right.
I will read it and talk to him.
Tomorrow in hour two.
Thank you. at any rate, but, you know, and we talked about this, obviously, on Friday as well. And you and I disagree on this, but I'm sorry. He is a traitor. He is not a hero.
Based on what? What has he done that has damaged national security?
90% of what he revealed had nothing to do with our privacy.
Has he done that's damaged national security? Name one thing.
Name a specific thing
that he's done.
As Mike Rogers just said, he is all of these nation states, in addition to Al-Qaeda, has changed what they do based on all of these revelations. It's going to take us billions of dollars to rebuild the system how we do things. That has damaged the United States.
Right.
And as Dianne Feinstein said, I thought it was a good point. A whistleblower, somebody that is in a job, stumbles across something that's against their conscience and blows the whistle on something illegal. That's not what happened here. He took this job specifically to do this. And to reveal these secrets, and as, you know, Mike Rogers said, I think, you know, what they're getting evidence of is he must have had help from the Russians or somebody. I'm sorry, when you run into Putin's arms and he's a big human rights champion, give me a break.
That's all awful. However, he did reveal that what the government was doing was possibly against the Fourth Amendment.
Exactly. And that's what Charlie Pierce's article is about.
Yeah, I don't know that you can say...
Right, but what I'm saying is a whistleblower does not take a job specifically to steal stuff and then, you know, and then reveal it, and you already have a plan to get out of the country and not... that's all I'm saying.
All of that is questionable, but he did reveal things that are possibly against the Fourth Amendment.
I'm not saying that we would be having this discussion in the same way if it weren't for the stuff he said. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, Okay. Well, anyway, Mike, U.S. House, and I'm just saying, I did agree with Dianne Feinstein and Mike Rogers on this yesterday when I was watching it. He believes Edward Snowden may have help from Russia. He said, I believe there's a reason he ended up in the loving arms of a Russian federal security service in Moscow. I don't think that's a coincidence, number one. I don't think it was a gee whiz luck event that he ended up in Moscow under the handling of the FSB.
Well, didn't he try and go to several other places before ending up in Moscow?
Yeah, he did.
So he didn't just leap into the arms of Russia.
He was he was in Hong Kong.
Right. He went to several other places. He got kicked out of there.
To compliment those places for their their respect of human rights. Give me a break.
I know, but I don't think he leapt into the arms of Russia.
Let me just finish what he said. He said, "I can guarantee you, he's in the loving arms of an FSB agent right today, and that's not good for the U.S. It's not good for the information to be shared with nation states." He said there's some clear evidence that something else was going on. This wasn't a random smash and grab, run down the road, end up in China, the bastion of internet freedom, and then Russia, of course, the bastion of internet freedom. And because of the nature of the information that was stolen, because the nature of the information that was stolen had nothing to do with Americans' privacy and had a lot to do with our operations overseas. Some of the things he did were beyond his technical capabilities. That raises more questions. How he arranged travel before he left, how he was ready to go. He had a go bag, if you will. Dianne Feinstein also asked on Meet the Press if she felt Snowden had help from the Russians. She said he may well have. We don't know at this stage. A former deputy CIA director, Mike Morrell, said, one of the things I point to when I talk about this is that the disclosures that have been coming recently are very sophisticated in their content and sophisticated in their timing, almost too sophisticated for Mr. Snowden to be deciding on his own, and it seems to me he might be getting some help. So, you know, and I was saying, Bill Maher did a very tough interview with Glenn Greenwald, I think, you know, who, I mean, I just think that, again, Jim, even be like Bill Maher. I mean, he thinks there's a balance between security and privacy. And the fact that, I guess it was something he was quoting Snowden said that it had to do with, like, you know, this has nothing to do with terrorism. It's just like, come on. You can't think that everyone that works in our government or in the NSA is evil or is out to snoop on Americans and is not interested in our security. I mean, it's just, there's
NSA
a balance.
Exactly that. Yeah, that's well. Charlie's article says, today President Obama asked everyone to give up some civil liberties up. The president's big speech on the NSA today was an extended exercise in running in place.
That.
You know,
I agree with that
balance.
President Obama said on Friday, he said, I will say that our nation's defense depends in part on the fidelity of those entrusted with our nation's secrets. If any individual who objects to the government policy can take it in their own hands to publicly disclose classified information, then we'll never be able to keep our people safe or conduct foreign policy. And I think all that's true. We have a lot of the president's sound bites. Well, and we'll play them and talk about that because I think, you know, a lot of this, too, Jim, is not easy. I mean, there's been a lot of articles written on this and, you know, there were a couple that we read that agree with me, and I'm sure Charlie agrees with you on some points, but it's not easy stuff. And even, by the way, trying to reform collection of all these records, this is not easy, and it's not just up to the president, which is why he sort of, you know, put this to Congress to a degree. So, we'll talk about all that. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
The kind you find in a second-hand store. Raspberry beret. I think I love her.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll-free from anywhere. Elizabeth in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Elizabeth. Hey, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Stephanie. I just have a point about your defense of Snowden talking about all the other people in surveillance saying, you know, they can't all be bad. It just kind of reeks of, you know, defending Nazism, saying, like, well, all the Germans can't be bad. And
you're comparing people in the NSA to the Third Reich?
No, she's using it as
an
example.
I'm just comparing defense of Snowden with other people. It's like comparing, you know, someone defending Hitler with, you know, saying all the other Nazis can't be all evil. So And I'm not even saying Snowden's
anything
like Hitler.
I think I was...
That just seems like your defense.
I was quoting Bill Maher, actually, when he was interviewing Glenn Greenwald. He quoted something that Snowden said that he thought was completely crazy, that, you know, was basically saying that nobody in the NSA, you know, cares about security, that this isn't about American security. And he said that's crazy, you know, to accuse everyone in the NSA of being, you know, they all just want to snoop on Americans.
Right.
They're not.
That's a broad brush.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, not everyone, obviously. Right. But
yeah.
It's a huge organization.
The president Friday.
We cannot prevent terrorist attacks or cyber threats without some capability to penetrate digital communications. We cannot unilaterally disarm our intelligence agencies.
Right, but casting a wide net that grabs everybody's metadata, that's possibly against the Fourth Amendment. That still needs to be adjudicated, you know, possibly in the Supreme Court, but still.
Well,
with the current makeup of the Supreme Court, good luck with that.
Yeah, and Washington Post, you know, with a good point, President Obama's intention to end the government's controversial practice of amassing phone records of millions of Americans faces a tangle of technical, logistical, and political problems that defy ready solutions and are largely beyond the president's control. This is a point where I would just quit if I were him. Just be like,
and that's why you're not president.
Exactly. You know what? I'm just going to go drink. I don't
know. Throw him in the towel.
I know.
I can't deal.
You can't do this anymore.
Among the challenges, stiff resistance from phone companies that do not want to be told how long to hold their customers' data if the government does not collect it, especially if that means longer than they do now. The companies do not have the data shifting capabilities of the NSA, which holds the records and uses them to sift for terrorist connections. The political challenges, saying maybe particularly daunting, the president says he wants to move the data out of the government's hands. That has positioned him between two extremes. At one end is an odd mix of Tea Party Republicans and civil liberties Democrats who want the government to end its bulk collection of Americans' records, not just shift where the data is stored. At the other end, powerful lawmakers, including the chairman of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, who have resisted any substantial change. In June 2015, the law that also authorizes, you know, the section of the Patriot Act that we keep talking about, is set to expire. So, you know, Congress is going to have to figure this out because,
expire. Yes. Please.
Yeah, but again, it's not that easy to, like, you know, and then what happens? Then we have a terrorist attack, and then what does everybody say? Then of course, the president, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, no one, you know, in your hearts, no one on the right is going to rally behind President Obama if there's a terrorist attack like we all did for George Bush.
We need to figure this out in a constitutional way. The way we're doing it now is not constitutional.
The president Friday.
There are fewer and fewer technical constraints on what we can do. That places a special obligation on us to ask tough questions about what we should do.
Let's see. Dory in Salem, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dory. Welcome. Oops, there we go. Hi, Dory. Go ahead.
I would like to say, first off, that I am a huge fan of whistleblowers.
Uh-huh.
However, Snowden leaves me squishy, and I'm going to try and put it into terms.
Many of us, yes.
Both of you, or both you and Jim will understand or agree with, whatever. Okay, say I take a job at Jim Ward Industries as an accountant. And in the course of my job, I discover that a portion of Jim Ward Industries is funding terrorists. I make a study of that and release just that information. That's a whistleblower.
Yep.
If, on the other hand, I take a job at Jim Ward Industries just to dump data, everything.
Right. Everything. Everything you can find. How much he spends on porn, you know, things like that. Just stuff.
That's data
random.
There's plenty of free porn. What are you talking about?
No, I
go ahead, Dory.
I totally get your point, Dory.
Yeah, if you took the job specifically to dump all of Jim's secrets, no matter what they are, you know, right.
Now, I love whistleblowers. I've loved whistleblowers since I first read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. That is a classic whistleblower.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Right, but again, Upton Sinclair did not just, you know, he specifically targeted the abuses of the meatpacking industry.
Right.
He did not dump every single piece of data that the meatpacking industry had.
Yeah. And I
but there wasn't as much data to comb through back then as there is now. Mm-hmm. So maybe what Snowden thought he should do was dump everything and let the journalists sort it out.
Yeah, but that's like dumping.
I'm not making excuses for him.
Sorry,
I'm just trying to
I guess, Jim, what I keep asking you, which I don't feel like I get an answer, and I don't mean to be combative. You know I love you. I would not want you to feel me up as much as I do if I didn't. But, I mean, I guess what I don't get is you keep saying categorically no harm's been done.
No, I'm saying
Mike Rogers is exaggerating, but what Al-Qaeda has changed the way they do based on the information. How does that not hurt America?
What did they change? What has Al-Qaeda done?
But you're, how do you know that no damage has been done
I'm
to the United States?
I've not seen any or heard evidence.
Well,
that
how could they see all of the ways that we do business without them changing what they do and making it harder for us to track it? I mean, I'm just saying. Dory's point, I think, is well taken, that 90-something% of what he revealed has nothing to do with Americans' privacy.
Right.
You know. Anyway,
but things have changed since Upton Sinclair's days.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more data that Snowden had access to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, some of this, as we've said, is technology. Anyway, all right, lots more crunchy audio goodness on all of this. The president's speech, people's reaction, 58 minutes after the hour. We roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, you're wrong on Snowden, but you were right on that. I'm being a little overly anal. I threw away his cough drop wrapper, and he needed to put his cough drop on. I apologize.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I was over-cleaning.
He's infirmed, so he needs his stuff around him.
Aren't we all? Just when you think this is over, you'll hack up something that looks like a...
I've got the walking pneumonia and the boogie-woogie blues.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh, speaking of which, a love letter from John in Milwaukee. We have done a public health service.
Mm.
Steph, based on the breakout of Ebola in Los Angeles,
yeah.
More specifically, Steph Cass Central, my wife and I got our flu shots yesterday.
Good.
Girl, goodbye. And it was 100% covered by our new nonprofit Obamacare insurance company. Yay. My new insurance is subsidized, so it cost me about $81 a month versus the $440 a month we used to pay for a catastrophic plan with an $11,900 a year deductible. But our new plan rocks, $5 copays, low deductibles, great prescription coverage. And by the way, President Obama didn't lie to me. I could have crept my old crappy plan because it was grandfathered in, but it turns out I'm not a dumbass. As you may remember, I have personally funded the upkeep of your bridal path since 2006 by subscription to and downloading your shows on the Stephcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Why, thank you. And I don't have a bridal path. Okay.
Are you sure?
Also, I will be traveling...
Well, you've never been married, so why would you... See,
not that kind of bridal.
No, not that kind of. I'll also be traveling to Madison, where we'll be communing with Satan and you on March 31st. Yay! Me and my good buddy Jim will be there. You'll be able to recognize us in the crowd because we'll be the ones who are...
drunk.
Right. Well, I will be able to pick them out in Madison.
Yeah.
After all, it is Madison, it is Wisconsin, and it is sexy liberal.
8:30 in the morning, it's time for a beer.
Time to rock and roll.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
No, we were literally drinking beer at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. It's awesome. So, by the by, Madison sold out, but Phoenix up next in February. Still a few tickets left for that, and Albuquerque in May, and then there will be more sexy liberal announcements
Sweet.
To come. All right. Speaking of entertainment, Jim, what is one of our obsessions? Paul Lynde, who I thought I was going to marry as a child.
Wow.
Not when I was a child. I thought I would grow up and marry him.
What, did you think you were going to... Liberace was next on the list?
When will Liberace marry? He just hasn't found the right girl yet.
Paul sent us some nostalgia
Sweet
for those of us...
baby boy.
Oh.
Paul sent us some nostalgia for those of us who remember some classic Hollywood Squares. He actually sent scripts from classic Hollywood Squares.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready? I will play the role of whoever...
Oh.
Who was the host?
No, Peter.
Peter Marshall.
Peter Marshall.
Exactly. Okay, Paul, what is a good reason for pounding meat?
Loneliness.
Paul, do female frogs croak?
if you hold their little heads underwater long enough.
Okay. Paul, why the hell's angels... hang on, where'd I go?
What'd you do?
Wear leather?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I missed my script.
Here, let me do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Paul, why do hell's angels wear leather?
Because chiffon wrinkles too easily.
Okay, I got this one. Who stays pregnant for a longer period of time, your wife or your elephant?
Oh, you missed one.
Oh, God.
No, that
you missed
was the
several
only
of them.
Oh, God.
I'm not doing all those. I'm only doing the ones I highlighted.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy.
Your wife or your elephant?
Who told you about my elephant?
All right, good.
Paul, can you get an elephant drunk? Yes, but he still won't come up to your apartment.
According to Ann Landers, what are two things you should never do in bed?
Point and laugh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for that. Oh, love me some Bill Maher. Excuse me. Oh, now I just
Bill
gave
Maher.
It. Never mind.
You were looking at Bill Maher.
Never mind. I just blew my own guess the quote.
Ah.
All right. I'll do another really easy one. And, Jim, if you're looking at me, if you're watching on Free Speech TV and you're looking at me right now, there's a clue.
Okay.
Mark my word, if and when these preachers ever get control of the Republican Party, and they're sure trying to do so, it's going to be a terrible damn problem. Frankly, these people frighten me. Politics and government demand compromise, but these Christians believe they're acting in the name of God, so they can't and won't compromise. I know. I've tried to deal with them. Who said that?
AUH2O.
You're not supposed to guess, right? Yes, Barry Goldwater, my dad's running mate. All right. I thought that'd be funny, because see, if you're looking at me...
Yeah.
All right.
There's a clue.
There was a visual clue.
You know in high school how we remembered that the that symbol for gold was AU?
How?
Because you remember, AU, get back here with my gold watch. That's how we remembered it.
AU, what's the matter, you?
Yeah.
Your humor has not gotten much
no,
more sophisticated.
No, it's not humor. Oh. That's how we remembered
mnemonic
it.
Device.
Yeah, it's a mnemonic device on how to remember the periodic table.
All right. So we were talking about the president.
I never got my periodic. I'm not sure what happened.
Well, you're a dude.
Ah, there's that.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. See President Friday.
Those who are troubled by our existing programs are not interested in repeating the tragedy of 9/11. And those who defend these programs are not dismissive of civil liberties. The challenge is getting the details right. And that is not simple.
That's what I keep saying. There's a balance, and this is complicated. And by the way, the president also said as part of sweeping reforms to the NSA, he announced plans to stop the interception of private electronic communications of dozens of foreign presidents and prime ministers.
Wow.
In the telephone briefing, a senior administration official said from now on, when President Obama wants to know what allied foreign leaders are thinking, he'll pick up the phone and call them.
Well,
so Angela Merkel can expect, what you thinking? Why so distant? I'm not being distant. I'm in Germany.
The Germans are distant. That's just a fact.
President just calling her and they'll say, oh, it's him again. What you thinking, funny face?
This is almost as bad as the back rub.
What you doing? What you thinking about?
I'm thinking about hanging up.
Yes. Anytime the red line from America calls, Angela Merkel rolls her eyes. Oh, God.
She'll be praying for the unwanted back rubs again. Stop calling me. I don't know what I'm thinking. Okay. let's go to Steve in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to bring up the Jim there. He was talking about the Snowden incident. And I asked Jim if it changed any of his views of the Internet or his conversations with people since the Snowden incident came out. And I think he must have taken a second thought about it on the Internet now. And so if we do that here in the United States, what makes him think that Al-Qaeda or any people that are going to do us harm would not do the same thing?
I'm not sure what you mean. You're saying that having the government spy on us is less bad than Al-Qaeda? Al-Qaeda would have any interest in what I'm talking about on the phone. Whenever I'm talking on the phone with my mom, I'm sure, I say something.
Right, but see, that
NSA, did you get that NSA?
That's a little touch more.
Yeah.
But this is what, Bill Maher was talking about, Jim, is just the balance between security and
right.
privacy. And he was talking about some stuff Edward Snowden says is crazy, that he, you know, was talking about they've
sure.
monitored every conversation that you've ever had with every friend they know. And he's like, give me a break. Really?
Well, that's what they're planning to do with it, the new okay. facility.
And store it all in Utah yes. for later use.
And yeah. I know, I understand you tend to distrust anything the government
decided.
Says. But you keep saying, somebody, Jim just sent me, you know, you keep saying, oh, well, what harm has he done? I haven't seen it. In the 6 months since Edward Snowden pulled off one of the worst intelligence breaches in American history, several government agencies have tried to gauge the damage. The Pentagon came up with their first formal assessment, and it's chilling. Mr. Snowden copied 1.7 million intelligence files, nearly double the highest previous estimate. You know, it goes on and on to say what they feel the damage was. For you to just go, oh, they didn't do any damage.
Well,
I mean,
it's a Valerie
how
Plame
could it
said
not
the same thing,
do that much damage? How can it not do any damage? Well, that's what exactly what. But that's what I'm saying. We need to be consistent. That's what Cheney and the rest said. Oh, we did nothing happen. Oh, she was a desk jockey. You know, I bet you a lot happened that we'll never know about. You know, I bet you a lot of people that were in that company could have been killed. We don't mm-hmm. know the Valerie Plame's cover company. So just go, oh, yeah, there's been no harm. That's the problem with this kind of stuff. How do you know? Ed in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
No,
well,
yes, you're
on the day. Oh, Ed hasn't.
Oh, Ed is not been screened. Lee in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi. The group that exposed the abuses of J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI did so by having a girl specifically go there for a job. To collect the information. Are you suggesting that they aren't whistleblowers?
There is a difference. The classic definition of whistleblower. Oh, and by the way, hello to your Finch.
actually, it's a cockatiel.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me.
And he talks to you while you're on my cell phone. I listen to you on my cell phone, he goes over to it and tries talking to you.
What does he say?
He just whistles and clucks and.
All right. Sounds about the same as me. Yeah. Makes as much sense as I do most of the time.
Yeah.
I think what I was quoting Dianne Feinstein, that the classic definition of whistleblower is someone that is in a job and discovers something illegal and out of conscience reveals it. I'm just saying this was obviously a plan in advance, and it's just there was so much stuff. There's so much stuff that had nothing to do with Americans' privacy that you know, I don't see how you could say it's not been damaging to the U.S., but the president on Friday.
I want to know what they think about an issue. I'll pick up the phone and call them rather than turning to surveillance.
I think Angela Merkel, this is just my prediction, she's going to ask to be bugged again. Because I'm just saying.
Why?
You know what I mean? Well, because he's going to overcall now. He's going to overcall and overtext. You know how that is.
Well, she's...
She's going to be like, listen, just...
She is laid up in bed with a broken pelvis.
Ooh, oh, is she?
Ouch. Oh, yeah, I sent you that news story.
I didn't get that.
She was skiing.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
She broke her pelvis.
Ow.
Ow.
Yeah, so she's kind of laid up in bed, so she might want someone to talk to.
Maybe so. Maybe she'll just take the president and
let's call it a telephonic pen
about
pal.
Her change in mood.
Sure.
She needs that app we talked about that tells you what you're feeling. She needs that. So.
Angela, huh? How you doing? Ach, mein pelvis.
Ach, du lieber.
Aua. I need more morphine.
Okay.
That's what she's feeling.
Yeah. I'm feeling like...
Ach, mein pelvis.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. We're all just getting over the boogie fever.
Yeah.
And in addition, Jim has, I can't remember what else, something else. We're at that very, just when you think it's over, you hock up something else that looks like Rand Paul's hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I haven't had that.
Rob, my friend that took me to the emergency room, he said, dude, you know you hocked up like some huge brown loogie right outside the hospital.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
Did you spit on the sidewalk and walked away?
I don't remember. I was delusional.
Yeah, I know, from that call
But he talked about the conversations he was having with the doctor. He was just like looking at me like, oh, boy. Oh, no. He said, what about Tamiflu? He's like, meaning like, oh, she's too far gone. She's going to be dead soon. Whatever. Jim, how are you doing? How is your day? Oh, good.
Good boy.
Okay.
Just talking up lung butter.
Awesome.
Well, wrapped in foil.
Okay. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Hey, guess how the Oregon Republican Party is celebrating?
How?
They're giving away rifles. They're raffling off rifles in honor of Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln.
But they were killed by guns.
Well, actually, Lincoln was killed by a pistol, but
gun.
Unlike John F. Kennedy, who was, you know, killed by a single shot.
No. You don't even know what that means.
Just poking him with a stick, I don't know. There's nothing like a good rifle to raffle off to commemorate nonviolent civil rights leaders who were shot to death.
Yeah, right.
At least that's what the leaders of Oregon's Republican Party thought when they decided to auction off rifles in honor of Martin Luther King and Abraham Lincoln. Tickets, $10 apiece, everybody.
Oh,
and
good.
The drawing will take place at the Lincoln Day dinner, where the keynote speaker will be Ted Cruz's crazy father, Raphael.
Oh, great. Boy.
They were just in good. Well, at least Chris Christie's presidential run is healthy.
Not the imperial grand wizard.
Yeah. Tony Perkins, Jim. Here's another one.
From the far right fringe.
Okay. No, not that guy. He's the president of the Family Research Council.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because families are, yeah.
He said gay equality will eventually lead to the extinction of humanity.
Right.
He is such a drama queen. Really?
Right, I know.
Hyperbole much?
Guy.
He said, if not for the physical relationship, intimacy between a man and a woman, the human race would be extinct within time if homosexuality was
that
normal.
That never occurred to me.
Mm-hmm. Idiot.
Yes, because
straight people only breed gay people.
Right.
Yeah.
Straights will stop having sex as long as there are gays.
Right. Right, exactly.
He makes no sense.
No. By the way...
And yet CNN keeps booking him as an expert on things.
Right. by the by, speaking of gun violence, yet another story. This is just because we had last week a lot of the home invasion callers that, you know, it's zero dark 30 at all their houses every night. Right. So they need an arsenal to protect themselves. A 4-year-old shoots another 4-year-old. A 4-year-old girl accidentally shot her 4-year-old cousin to death with a loaded rifle that she found under the bed at their grandfather's Detroit home. The girl was playing and watching television Thursday afternoon with the 4-year-old boy and his 5-year-old sister when she found the gun, picked up the weapon, pointed at the boy, shot him once in the chest. That obviously happens far, far more regularly than anybody successfully repelling or stopping. As we posted the Mother Jones piece that said, how often has just an armed civilian stopped a mass shooting? Actually, never.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much never in the last, I don't know how they did the last chunk of however long, you know, time.
Mm-hmm. But how many times have people accidentally shot someone they knew?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's see. Dara in Delaware, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dara.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been listening to this stuff about Edward Snowden, and to be very honest about it, if he really wanted to do something useful, he should have gone after the Koch brothers, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
real corruption.
I mean,
yeah, but he didn't have access to information on that.
He could have gotten it. I mean, if he was smart enough to figure out how to get the government access, he could have gotten theirs, too. And I'll lay
but
out...
But he was working in a government contractor. He wasn't working at a Koch contractor. You see what the difference is?
I was in the military for 4 years. My husband retired out of the military. Yeah, I know what that is. Okay.
Okay. So how are you saying that he could have access to Koch brothers information when he wasn't working for a Koch brothers subsidiary? He was working for a government subsidiary.
Okay. Well, first of all, he could have gone to work for the Koch brothers. Okay.
He's obviously sneaky.
He could have
enough.
Done that.
He's obviously sneaky enough, and it would have helped me more directly. Okay.
That's not
the president on this whole subject on the NSA on Friday, President Obama.
It is not enough for leaders to say, trust us, we won't abuse the data we collect.
I mean, he obviously, you know, and Jim, again, I've given you that we, you know, probably would not be having this discussion in the same way at the same time without these revelations. But, you know, that being said, this is not easy, figuring out what to.
There's got to be a balance, but...
The president, one more time, on Friday.
The sensational way in which these disclosures have come out has often shed more heat than light.
Michael Hayden, former NSA director.
We aren't out there hoovering up everything in the universe for some purian interest. We aren't out there gathering data to make America more profitable or for commercial enterprises.
Yeah, right now they're not hoovering it up for period interest. But what's to say a more diabolical administration comes in later on?
Right, I get it, but my point, I think the point people are trying to make is it's not an entire agency full of Gladys Kravitzes.
Not right now, but potentially under a different administration, it could be.
This new facility in Utah is sucking up, hoovering up all the information to be used at some later
date. And storing it. Right. You know, they may not be reading it now, but they could read it at any point in the future.
They'll find something on everybody.
Yeah. Aaron in North Carolina, let's have you chime in real quick. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, the three points that I feel are constantly missing in this conversation, one of them being the NSA can't actually hear the conversations that we're having over the phone. Second one being, Chris keeps mentioning a constitutional solution. I have not heard any details as to what that would be.
I haven't either.
Third one.
That needs to come up.
Go ahead, Aaron.
The third one being, how exactly do we get a warrant to hear what we're supposedly saying over the phone if we can't detail what conversations are happening? Essentially, the NSA program is supposed to be a helpful program, but if we aren't hearing...
All right, more on that when we get back.
I've given this a lot of thought, and I feel the all G-string
Stephanie Miller
is the wrong direction for this magazine. Instead, we're doing nipple glitter.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. For those of you just tuning in, Jim has nearly completed the crossword puzzle in the LA Times today. It's a very, very good day for crossword puzzles.
And I've nearly read Beetle Bailey and Nancy.
Wow.
And weirdly, Jim, not often good at answers, as in Guess the Quote. Jim, who said, this is the question the right has to answer, do you want smaller government with less handouts, or do you want a low minimum wage? Because you cannot have both. If Colonel Sanders isn't going to pay the lady behind the counter enough to live on, then Uncle Sam has to. And I for one, am getting a little tired of helping highly profitable companies pay their workers. Who said that?
Norm Ornstein.
No, Bill Maher.
Uh-huh.
Who is back home. You have to watch it just for Mary Madeline. Oh, dear God.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, she was even worse the next day on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't know if drunk, stoned on pain pills, something. We're not certain what. It's wow. Okay.
It's no way to go through life, son.
Yeah. Or I wasn't sure if it was plastic surgery, Botox. Remember when Michael Jackson, he had too much plastic surgery to say the word area?
Area.
He could not pronounce an R. When
any other error.
That was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Any other error.
Okay. Let's see here. John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. Yes.
I'm in Boston.
You know what? Travis has had one too many martinis this morning. All right, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, I think that... I don't know why people are getting so excited about Snowden, because he just revealed to every intelligence agency around the world, in every country around the world, what every intelligence agency around the world was already well aware of.
Yeah.
They all do it.
Right.
It was no secret to them.
France acted as shocked as finding out the president might have a mistress. What? What?
That's incroyable.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was in Army intelligence when I was in the service. And we could have been used for civilian criminal activity if we were sought out to do it. But we always had judicial oversight.
Right.
We had judges that would, they would pretty much rubber stamp most things.
That's why honestly, one of the things, the most important things the president has talked about is not having the FISA court be such a rubber stamp. I mean, I think that part is really significant.
I know. I think Cheney took that away so he could listen to his political enemies, because there was no other reason to do it.
Yeah.
Probably exactly.
Pat Leahy, Senator Leahy, talking about all this.
I'm going to propose some significant limitations on the collection. I think that we've reached a point where we're saying if we collect everything, we're safe. No, if we collect everything, we have nothing.
Right.
Well, this is the whole argument, Jim, about somebody said, oh, but, you know, one of the intelligence people said, oh, but if you want to find a needle, you have to have a haystack. And then someone said, well, if the haystack's too big, it's harder to find the needle.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's this whole argument about, you know, how do we do this? Representative Xavier Becerra, Democrat of California.
We moved too quickly under the guise of security and undermined too many of the rights, the privacy rights.
And, I think that that is true, and I think that it'll be interesting to see what Congress does before, because this part of the Patriot Act is just going to expire if they don't do anything. You
but
know,
it appears
if they don't figure out if there's some compromise.
It appears that the president doesn't agree with that, though.
Mm-hmm.
With what?
With what Xavier Becerra said.
Well, he's putting it in Congress's lap because you have to. It's too complicated. As I was just quoting, I think the Washington Post earlier, the president can't do this alone. I mean, a lot of this, it has to do with the phone companies. It has to do with Congress. You're right. This section of the Patriot Act is going to expire. I think he feels that there needs to be more of a compromise that Congress needs to work on rather than just let it expire. So, anyway. Senator Rand Paul, I saw him on TV, and I was like, that's exactly what I hawked up. Whatever's on his head is exactly when I had the flu.
I hear him say, you know, if you like your privacy, you can keep it. Hear him saying that they're going to continue to collect your phone records, your text messages, your email, and probably your credit card records. So I don't think anything's changing.
Well, we'll talk about that with Charlie Pierce tomorrow.
You know what?
See how he was clever there? He made it like about Obamacare as well.
He was an a-hole about it, but I agree with
him. Bill Maher is right. He's like Ron Paul. He's like, he says some things that you're like, oh, right. And then he says stuff that's completely crazy.
Well, I don't think what he said there was crazy.
No.
Right? Well, maybe he can ask some of the Klan members that work for him.
That has nothing to do with what Rand Paul just said right here.
Okay, but I don't agree with it. I'm just saying, and you can say, oh, he's right, Rand Paul's right, and half the stuff he says is insane.
Right, but the president is saying, you know, if you like your privacy, you can keep it, but then the next breath he's saying, but we're still going to hoover up all this information.
Yeah.
What?
He's not saying we're going to. He obviously is proposing changes, and he's asking Congress to help him.
What changes?
Exactly.
It's going to be status quo.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that. When did you get on his side, by the way?
You can talk to Charlie Pierce about it tomorrow.
Let's go to Ed in Oregon. All right, book Doyle McManus from the LA Times and two other people on my side.
Stop. Oh, you know, we schedule you and try to talk and say, look, you're going to come here.
I don't know. He's not talking. He's talking to Travis still, maybe.
No, he's talking to someone in his room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yeah, about Snowden, again, I hate to even talk about it because it's so crazy. I mean, he's done a great service.
Oh, yeah.
And now everybody is trying to throw stuff against him. Now, the Republicans, you think, would like him.
He's done a great service? You think stealing all of those secrets
revealing
all of them to the entire world?
Daniel Ellsberg agrees.
Well, I don't think he's really done that.
Well, why didn't he come face the music like Daniel Ellsberg did?
Well, because he'll be thrown in the deepest well. He'll never come out.
Oh, really?
His information will never... Yes.
That's the difference. Yeah. That is the difference. And I believe our friend Melissa Fitzgerald made this, you know, this point on the show. She knows a lot of people that work in a lot of these government places. And guess what? That doesn't happen in America. We're not going to throw him in a deep well. Nothing's going to happen to his family. You can't say that, Jim. What she was talking about is it's not even our enemies. It's our friends that have helped us. You don't know what happened to any of those people or their families in a lot of these countries. I mean, you can't say that there's just blanket, oh, there's been no damage from all of these.
Well, I didn't say that. I've said I've seen no evidence of it.
But I agree that he was a coward by running away to Russia. You know, it's not completely black and white. I'm not on his side with everything, Stephanie.
There's some good news.
He could be a douchebag and still be right.
Yeah, and I've said that from the very beginning.
There's some good news that I think is most important for our Republican, that is voting. Goodbye for now to voter ID in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Did you know how egregious this law was, though? A judge has struck down the state's identification law. We just have to hope there's some sane judges, whether it's on these, whether it's social issues or this stuff. I mean, some of this stuff, I don't even think we know what's happening in some of these states, citing its violation of the fundamental right to vote. It was passed by Republicans during the 2012 campaign season. Remember the guy, he said, he was quoted as saying voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're coming out and saying it. This is to suppress the vote so the Republican can win.
That's right.
Anyway, at the time, it was one of the strictest in the country. Not only were voters required to show an unexpired government-issued ID, but if it wasn't issued by either the state of Pennsylvania or the federal government, then it would not be accepted, excluding, for instance, student IDs from outside the state. And if you don't have an ID, then you could receive a free one as long as you had a Social Security card, an official birth certificate, and two proofs of residency. Who has that? Do you have that on you? Can you reproduce that?
Nope.
I can't. I mean, voter ID, Republicans likely to appeal the ruling to the state Supreme Court. But, you know, I'm telling you, and they're just getting more and more desperate with apparently their front runner, Chris Christie, imploding. This is it. So they seem to be left with. David Ignatius had a great piece, by the way, about we were saying how ridiculous and desperate this Benghazi comparison is to Chris Christie's stuff. In case you had not, because I can't even believe that anyone in the media is letting a Republican get Benghazi out of their mouth without saying this has been completely debunked. He said the deeper message of this bipartisan report that was just released, and I think this was also on Real Time this weekend, it echoes the last two or three reports. It's like they just keep trying to go with this thing, and there's nothing there. The deeper message in the bipartisan report is the Republicans in Congress wasted a year arguing about what turned out to be mostly phony issues. And it's all the stuff we've heard on the phone lines here, on our troll lines here over the last year. Driving the Republican jihad was a claim. On Fox News, I'm sure that was a coincidence, that the CIA had wanted to respond more quickly but were ordered to stand down. How many times have we gotten that call? The president ordered them to stand down. This claim was promptly rebutted by CIA officials, but repeated on Fox News 85 times.
Wow.
The barrage fueled Republican charges that the Democrats were engaging in a cover-up. The committee explored claims that there was a stand-down order given to the security team at the annex, although some members of the security team expressed frustration they were unable to respond more quickly to the mission compound. The committee found no evidence of intentional delay or obstruction by the chief of the CIA base or any other party, period.
Yes, but if you repeat it often enough, it becomes true.
Right.
If you repeat it often enough, it becomes true. If you repeat it often enough, it becomes true. If you repeat it often enough, it becomes true.
The Senate panel also rejected the insinuation made by Republicans that the Obama administration failed to scramble available military assets that could have defended the Benghazi annex and saved the lives of the four Americans there. There were no military U.S. Resources in position to intervene in short order in Benghazi, the report says flatly. The committee has reviewed the allegations that U.S. personnel prevented the mounting of any military relief effort during the attacks, but the committee has not found any of these allegations to be substantiated. And by the way, these are bipartisan findings, agreed to by the Republicans on the panel as well. The Senate report makes clear some important security makes were made by Ambassador Chris Stevens, as we've said. I mean, that's the saddest thing about these reports. The courageous but sometimes incautious diplomat who was among those who died in the attack. You know, Jim, as you said, he formed bonds with the locals and with the local militias and sadly trusted them. Perhaps the silliest aspect of the Benghazi affair was the focus on the errant talking points prepared for Congress, which cited incorrect intelligence about spontaneous demonstrations in Benghazi that wasn't corrected by the CIA until after Member Susan Rice gave the talking points that she was given. Rice is still under a cloud because she repeated the CIA's points prepared at Congress's insistence. Next time, the Senate report notes, the intelligence community should just tell Congress what the facts are unclassified and let the legislators do the talking. I mean, if they would have done that, they all would have said the exact same thing Susan Rice did. I mean, it's... Anyway, just I thought my head was going to explode. Six times the people on the Sunday shows are still using Benghazi as a comparison to Bridgegate in New Jersey. Ridiculous. All right, I'm going to hock up something else.
Are you?
Right.
I can't wait to see what it is.
Bile on top of regular phlegm.
And you can see it on freespeech.org.
Awesome. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I suppose you're going to blame Fred for not turning my microphone on just then, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Stupid dog.
You be dog.
Now turn your microphone on.
Oh,
there you
boy.
Go.
Okay.
I wonder if it sounded echoey. That was
Hello.
You. Echo.
Hello.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Blame that on Fred, too.
I kept turning it up, and
I got here.
Which way did you go?
Oh, I have.
Sorry, we're
I was going to turn it louder. Okay.
Sorry, we're a little giddy over the new Chris Christie revelations. You know, the unpleasantness in Hoboken. Sure. And all, but no fat jokes, everybody.
The road shut down with a many a closed down lane.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. All right. Oh, another good news, and I bet people are shocked. I bet you'll be shocked about this. What? Dennis Rodman has checked into rehab. Alcohol rehab.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh.
In Korea?
No, here.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, he pretty much admitted that he screwed up when he went over there.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Comes on the hint
just
of
dawned
his
on him. Okay.
Yeah. Latest basketball diplomacy trip to North Korea.
Yeah.
In which he sang a bizarrely sensual rendition of Happy Birthday to Kim Jong-un.
Wow. Yeah.
It was very Marilyn Monroe-esque.
Oh. Why?
Oh, my God. Mm.
And then blew up at CNN's Chris Cuomo when asked about Kenneth Bai, the American imprisoned in North Korea. He later apologized for the outburst, admitting he had been drinking before he went on set at CNN. Which, you know, me too, but...
Well, everything was imploding around
I don't
him.
Say that, you yeah. know, guy in North Korea deserved to be imprisoned. You know what I'm saying?
That
I'm in solidarity with him on.
Yeah.
By the way, if recent news is any indication, Justin Bieber may be joining him in rehab because... I don't know if it's true. If this isn't a, you know... what's the word? Justification for his douchiness.
Okay.
He's apparently really into the purple drink that we discussed
the
last Cizerp.
Week. The purple drag.
Right, which is a mixture of which we've all been drinking, basically, since we've
much.
Been sick.
Yeah.
A mixture of codeine, promethazine, Sprite, and a single Jolly Rancher.
Ooh, that sounds awful.
That's very sweet. It's like one of those sweet drinks that kids...
Puke right. up on the 4 or 5.
Exactly, yeah.
That was Grasshopper's drink.
Yeah. That's a training wheel drink.
Right. He is reportedly drinking so much of the fruity drug drink, his team has been urging him to go to rehab. Now, that would be a douchey show.
Gotta make me go to rehab.
And Dennis Rodman in rehab. No.
Yeah.
Well, right. I bet Chris Christie's going to go to rehab now with his... chances slipping away. But don't worry, Republicans, you have a deep bench.
Let's see.
Larry Moe and Curly.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Shemp. Okay. I don't know if this is this douchiness is drinking related, but Bill O'Reilly has ruffled feathers in his exclusive Montauk neighborhood in the
heavens.
Hamptons after pulling down a charming 1940s cottage to make way for his mansion. He paid $8 million for the cottage, and I'm guessing he's going to block a lot of people's shots of the ocean.
Don't block the shot.
Yeah.
Don't block the shot. Got it? Don't block the shot. You're blocking the shot. Get over there. We have a right to be here to shoot the shot. Son of a...
He's going to block the shot.
Yeah, totally.
Well, first of all, there's Vladimir Putin, and now we want to know, what does the guy on The Bachelor think about the gays? That's what I think we really want to know. TV Bachelor Juan Pablo Galavis?
Yes.
I don't know much.
I don't either.
Okay.
Many people do, though.
Former Venezuelan soccer star, Jim. You are a soccer aficionado. He said he would be 100% opposed to having a cycle of the reality dating show feature an openly gay or bisexual bachelor.
Oh, okay.
Said, I don't think it's a good example for kids to watch that on TV.
Meanwhile,
they're too busy watching Modern Family.
No, getting paid to date 30 different women at one time.
That is sanctity.
That's the sanctity of... Okay,
right.
Right.
Great.
Right.
Great. Because it's chicks.
So, yeah. So, okay. So gotcha.
He said, you have to respect everybody's desires and way of living, but it would be too hard for TV. You can't have the gays on TV. Ask everyone on Glee.
Or American Idol.
His comments continue as he then accused gay people of being more pervert, in a sense.
In what?
He's not so good at the grammar, in a sense, is he? Does he mean perverted?
He's Argentinian, so English isn't his first language.
Yes.
Or Venezuelan, yes.
I see.
So I'll give him a pass.
He was careful to note, as most homophobes do, that he has many gay friends and coworkers.
Of course.
Who probably all think he's a homophobic dude.
Sure.
Muchos amigos.
And they all think Putin is so well built.
He's still weird. This is going to be, Dr. Drew is on the phone right now. Reality Rehab is going to be Mary Madeline, Dennis Rodman, Justin Bieber. Just saying.
And this guy.
There's
the
a
Venezuelan
show.
Guy.
He said he still believes the show would be, he has a lot of gay friends, but he believes the show would be too hard to watch with a gay person.
With a homo.
Right, without the homo on there. It's disgusting, this purple drink. Okay, Don in California on Snowden. Hello, Don.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good morning, morning Steph. Glad to see everybody's up and well again.
Yes.
Sort of. You.
Sort of.
Listen, the one thing about the Edward Snowden thing that I wanted to point out, the difference between him and, say, an Ellsberg or a Woodward Bernstein or even the people that recently we found out about breaking into the FBI offices, every one of them stayed here and faced possible, if not actual, prosecution for what they did. Snowden took off across the continent and left the country and wound up in the hands of our enemies. So what's the difference between him and a spy?
Well, Russia isn't exactly our enemy anymore.
Well,
they're not friends either. But
yeah,
they're not the friendliest country in the world to us.
And it only gives credence to the fact that he had help or some type of, you know, incentive to do what he did other than revealing patriotic information. And let's face it, all this stuff came out in 2006 when Bush was president, but if we questioned it, we were unpatriotic then.
That's
now
a good
all
point.
Of a sudden it's the hypocrisy is too great for me.
Yeah, that's Snowden's
the point. And
I think,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot more to come out. Charlie Pierce, Jim's good friend, will be on tomorrow. For those of you who think I'm being too mean to Jim. Okay, I love you, Jim Ward.
It's not about me.
It is for me.
It's about America.
I love you. You, I don't care what you think.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
See if I show up tomorrow.
We'll see most of us here tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.